Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I've worked at Burger King for 2 years. Most shifts are uneventful, cleaning tables, flipping burgers, and occasionally dealing with a rude customer. That night, though, was different. That night, I saw something I'll never forget. It was a slow evening with barely anyone coming in. My manager, Peter, sent me to clean the women's restroom. It's my least favorite task, but someone has to do it. I grabbed the mop and the cleaning supplies and headed inside. The restroom was empty, just like the dining area. The overhead light flickered slightly, the kind of thing you'd see in a cheap horror movie. I ignored it and got to work, mopping the floor and wiping down the sinks. Everything was routine, until it wasn't. I was scrubbing one of the stalls when I heard it. A scream, a man's scream coming from one of the cubicles. At first I froze. The sound didn't make sense. This was the women's restroom. I was sure of it. I'd just checked the sign before entering. Slowly, I turned toward the stalls, my grip tightening on the mop handle. Hello? My voice barely came out. I took a step back, my eyes darting toward the exit. Another scream echoed through the room, louder this time. It wasn't a cry for help. It was angry, primal, like an animal caught in a trap. My pulse skyrocketed. I wanted to run, but my legs felt heavy, like they were stuck in wet cement. The sound of a door unlocking snapped me out of it. One of the stall doors swung open violently. A man stumbled out, his clothes disheveled and his face contorted with rage. His eyes locked onto me, and for a moment, we just stood there staring at each other. Then he charged. I didn't have time to think. He lunged at me, his hands outstretched. I barely managed to duck, the mop slipping from my grasp. He slammed into the sink behind me, but that didn't slow him down. He turned, his eyes wild, and came at me again. I scrambled backward, my foot catching on the edge of the mop bucket. I fell hard, my head smacking against the tile floor. Pain shot through my skull, but I couldn't stop to process it. He was already on top of me, his hands clawing at my arms as I tried to push him away. "Get off me!" I screamed, kicking at his legs. My heel connected with his knee, and he let out a guttural growl. It wasn't enough to stop him, though. He grabbed my wrist and slammed it against the floor. I felt something crack, and a sharp, searing pain shot up my arm. Just when I thought he was going to kill me, he stopped. His face twisted in frustration, and he let out an angry roar. Just as suddenly as he'd attacked, he stood up and stormed out of the restroom. I lay there for a moment, gasping for air, my entire body trembling. My wrist throbbed and my head was pounding, but I was alive. Somehow, I was alive. The sound of glass shattering snapped me out of my daze. I forced myself to sit up, every movement sending waves of pain through my body. Outside the restroom, I could hear yelling and the sound of things breaking. The man was still here, and he was tearing the place apart. I crawled to the door, my heart racing. Peeking out, I saw him in the middle of the dining area. He was throwing chairs, smashing tables, and shouting incoherently. One of the security guards tried to intervene, but the man grabbed him by the collar and threw him against the counter like he weighed nothing. My coworkers were screaming, some of them hiding behind the counters while others bolted for the exits. I wanted to run too, but my body wouldn't cooperate. I was frozen, watching the chaos unfold like it was some kind of twisted nightmare. I finally mustered the courage to move, crawling toward the emergency exit at the back of the kitchen. My wrist was useless, and every step felt like a marathon, but I had to get out of there. I was almost to the door when I heard heavy footsteps behind me. I turned just in time to see the man charging at me again. He tackled me to the ground, his hands wrapping around my throat. I clawed at his arms, gasping for air, but he was too strong. My vision started to blur, and I thought this was it. This was how I was going to die. Then, out of nowhere, Peter and two of my coworkers appeared. They grabbed the man, trying to pull him off me. He let go of my throat and turned on them, swinging wildly. Peter took a punch to the jaw and went down hard, blood pouring from his mouth. My other coworkers didn't fare any better. One of them got slammed into the fryer station. The man turned back to me, his face twisted with rage. He raised his foot, aiming for my head. I closed my eyes, bracing for the impact. The sound of sirens cut through the chaos. Before the man could bring his foot down, the front doors burst open and police officers stormed in. They shouted orders, their guns drawn. The man hesitated for a moment, then turned to face them. He let out another primal scream and charged at the nearest officer. A gunshot rang out, and he stumbled, clutching his shoulder. He didn't go down, though. It took three officers to finally wrestle him to the ground and handcuff him. I lay there coughing and gasping for air as the chaos slowly died down. The officers dragged the man outside, his screams fading into the night. My coworkers were battered and bloody, but alive. Somehow, we'd all survived. The Burger King was shut down for the rest of the night, and probably longer. The police took our statements, but none of us could explain what had happened. The man was a complete stranger. He didn't work there, and he hadn't ordered anything. He just appeared. I quit my job the next day. I couldn't walk back into that building, not after what had happened. I still don't know who that man was or why he did what he did. Maybe I never will. But sometimes, late at night, I can still hear his screams. Hey guys, we noticed that only a small portion of you are subscribed to the channel. If you really enjoy our stories, please follow us and like the video. It's free, and it really helps us a lot to keep growing. We upload videos daily and interact a lot with our community, as we upload stories that you recommend us, and once a month, we upload your own stories. And to those of you who are already subscribed, we appreciate all your likes, comments, and your constant support. You are as much a part of SSG Animations as we are. And now, back to the video.
I never thought a late-night craving would turn into the most terrifying experience of my life. I'm usually cautious when heading out after dark, but that night, my hunger got the better of me. Little did I know, my decision to grab food would lead to a close encounter with something or someone, straight out of a nightmare. It was around 2 a.m. when I decided to go to the nearby 24-hour Burger King. The streets were quiet, and I told myself I'd be in and out in no time. I parked my car in the half-empty lot and walked inside. The familiar smell of fries and burgers greeted me as I approached the counter. After a brief exchange with an employee I recognized, I placed my order. Everything seemed normal, just another routine pit stop for fast food. I wasn't prepared for what would happen next. I picked up my meal and was heading back to my car when I noticed something unusual. A black SUV was parked directly in front of me, its engine running, but the headlights were off. What caught my attention even more was the silhouette inside. Someone was sitting in the driver's seat, completely still, their head tilted slightly toward me. I couldn't make out any of their features in the dim light, but the way they stared sent shivers down my spine. I told myself I was overreacting and climbed into my car. As I shut the door, I glanced at the SUV again. This time, I could see his eyes. They were wide, unblinking, and fixed directly on me. My stomach twisted. Before I could even start my engine, a loud thud startled me. It came from inside the SUV. The figure's gaze disappeared as they turned to face something in the back seat. Curiosity got the better of me, and I cracked my window to get a better look. The noises stopped abruptly. Then, the back door of the SUV flew open. Out stepped a man. No, more like a beast of a man, towering, muscular, and seething with rage. He staggered out as if disoriented, looked around wildly, and then let out a scream that could wake the dead. The sound was guttural and full of fury, the kind of scream you feel in your chest. I froze. Gripping my phone, I started recording a voice message for the friend who worked inside. I told him about the man and asked him to call security. As I hit send, I glanced up to see the man climb onto the roof of the SUV. He stood there, chest heaving, his head snapping in every direction like an animal searching for prey. Then his eyes locked onto mine. My heart stopped. He roared and jumped down, landing with a thud that echoed through the lot. Without hesitation, he charged at my car. I turned the key in the ignition, but my car sputtered and refused to start. Panic surged through me as he closed the distance. I twisted the key again, praying it would work this time. Finally, the engine roared to life. I slammed on the gas just as he reached my car. There was a loud bang on the roof as I sped away. I didn't stop driving until I was home. My driveway felt like a sanctuary as I pulled in and turned off the engine. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my racing heart. I grabbed my phone to check the message I'd sent earlier. My friend had replied, and his voice was frantic.
"Get out now! A guard saw you leaving. The guy, he isn't in the lot anymore. He's on top of your..."
Before he could finish, a hand shot through my open window and grabbed me by my neck. The phone fell from my hand as I was yanked halfway out of the car. The man's grip was like iron, and his eyes burned with an unhinged intensity. He pulled me out completely and threw me to the ground with terrifying strength. I scrambled backward on the pavement, my palms scraping against the rough surface. He stalked toward me, his movements slow and deliberate, as if savoring the moment. My mind raced for a way out, but I was paralyzed with fear. He raised his fist, and I braced for the worst. Out of nowhere, headlights flooded the scene. A car screeched to a halt, and three young men jumped out. They ran toward us, shouting at the man to back off. For a moment, I thought they'd scare him away, but he didn't even flinch. Instead, he grabbed one of them by the arm, twisted it with inhuman strength, and tossed him aside like a rag doll. The other two tried to tackle him, but he threw them off with ease. The distraction gave me a chance to crawl toward my car, but my legs felt like jelly. The man turned back to me, his face contorted with rage. He was shaking, his breath coming in short, ragged gasps. Just as he lunged, I remembered the taser in my bag. My hands fumbled as I pulled it out, but adrenaline gave me the speed I needed. As he closed the gap, I pressed the taser to his side and fired. He convulsed and collapsed to the ground. I didn't stick around to see if he'd stay down. I grabbed my key, stumbled into my house, and locked the door behind me. My hands were trembling so bad I could barely dial 911. Through the window, I could see the three men getting back into their car. One of them was on his phone, probably calling for help too. The man outside, though, he wasn't finished. He got up, slamming his fist against my door, shouting incoherently. The sound was deafening, each blow threatening to break the door down. Just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, flashing blue and red lights appeared at the end of my street. The police arrived and subdued him after a struggle. Later, I learned that the SUV wasn't registered to him or anyone nearby. The police couldn't identify him, and he was eventually sent to a psychiatric facility. As for me, I've learned my lesson. I still get late-night cravings, but I'll never let my guard down again. And if I ever see someone acting strange, I won't stick around to find out why.
Burger King had always been my kid's favorite. Every weekend he insisted we eat there, and honestly, I didn't mind. It was one of the few places where he'd happily finish his meal without a fuss. One evening after our usual dinner, we were walking to the car when I noticed something unusual. A person dressed as the Burger King mascot stood near the exit holding a balloon. It wasn't unusual for places to hire costume performers, so I didn't think much of it. But the costume was filthy, smeared with what looked like dark stains. My son clung to me, unsettled. The person waved slowly, almost mockingly. It was creepy, but I figured it was just someone taking their job too seriously. As we walked to the car, I felt their eyes follow us. The moment we got in, the figure stepped closer, but I locked the doors and drove away. My son didn't say a word for the whole ride home. Weeks passed, and I thought we'd put the weird encounter behind us. My son, however, refused to go back to Burger King. I didn't push it, but eventually his mom convinced him to give it another chance. Reluctantly, he agreed, and I promised we'd go during the day, hoping it would feel safer. The visit started well. The place was bright and bustling with families. My son began to relax, even laughing as he ate his burger. It felt good to see him enjoying himself again. Afterward, as we walked to the car, I made a point to scan the parking lot. No strange mascots in sight. We were almost to the car when I heard footsteps behind us. I turned to see the Burger King mascot walking toward us, holding a balloon and something else, a large wrench. My son froze in fear. I grabbed his hand and started to run, but the mascot picked up their pace, the wrench swinging at their side. Reaching the car, I fumbled with the keys, trying to unlock the door. The figure was only steps away now. I shoved my son into the backseat and got in myself, locking the doors just as they reached us. They banged on the window with the wrench, the sound echoing in the empty lot. My son screamed, and I yelled for the person to leave, but they didn't. Instead, they climbed onto the hood of the car, staring at us through the windshield. I started the car and reversed sharply, trying to shake them off. They slid off the hood but managed to smash the passenger side mirror with the wrench. I hit the gas, speeding toward the exit. In the rearview mirror, I saw them sprinting after us. I drove straight to a police station and reported what had happened. Officers took my statement but didn't seem overly concerned. They said it was likely a prank gone too far. I wasn't convinced, but without more evidence, there wasn't much they could do. My son refused to eat at Burger King after that, and honestly, I didn't blame him. Months went by, and life started to feel normal again. Then one evening, we were driving home when my son spotted something out the window. The same mascot was standing at the corner of our street, holding a balloon. I told myself it couldn't be the same person, but my son's reaction was instant. He burst into tears, begging me to drive faster. I didn't sleep that night. I kept checking the locks on the doors and looking out the windows. The next morning, I found a balloon tied to our mailbox. Written on it in black marker was a single word: soon. I called the police again, but they found nothing. I installed security cameras and kept my son home from school for a few days. For a while, nothing happened, and I began to think we were safe. Then came the night it all escalated. My son and I were home watching TV when the power went out. I grabbed a flashlight and told him to stay in his room while I checked the breaker box. As I opened the door to the backyard, I froze. Standing in the yard was the mascot, holding the wrench. They didn't move, just stood there, staring at me. I slammed the door and locked it, my heart racing. I ran to grab my son, but before I could reach his room, the sound of breaking glass echoed through the house. The intruder was inside. I grabbed a baseball bat from the closet and positioned myself between my son and the hallway. The mascot stepped into view, their expression obscured by the plastic mask. They raised the wrench and I swung the bat, hitting them in the arm. They stumbled but recovered quickly, lunging at me. We struggled and they knocked the bat from my hands. Just as they raised the wrench to strike, a loud bang rang out. The police had arrived, responding to a neighbor's call about the power outage and the noise. An officer shot the intruder in the leg, causing them to collapse. They were arrested on the spot. When they removed the mask, my son gasped. It wasn't a stranger. It was his mother. She later confessed that she'd been trying to scare my son into refusing to spend time with me, hoping it would give her leverage in the custody battle. The plan spiraled out of control when she started using drugs, making her increasingly erratic and dangerous. She hadn't intended to hurt anyone initially, but by the end, she had no control over her actions. The incident left deep scars on both of us. My son still struggles with nightmares, and I can't bring myself to step into a Burger King again. Even though she's behind bars now, her action succeeded in one way. The bond my son and I had over our favorite restaurant has been shattered. We try to move forward, but some wounds don't heal easily. Every so often, I catch him looking out the window at night, as if expecting to see that masked figure again. I don't blame him. I would do the same.